Patricia Camilleri, Director of the Communications and Alumni Relations Office here at the University. In this series called Research Matters, I shall be discussing a wide range of research projects in which our academics are currently involved. Today I have with me in the studio Professor Stephen Kaleya, who is director of MEDAC, the Mediterranean Academy of Diplomatic Studies, as well as being a lecturer in international relations. He's going to talk to us today about Jean Monnet project and about other very interesting activities that go on within his academy. Just a few words about Professor Kaleya. He's also, apart from being a lecturer and director at the Academy, he's also an advisor to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Malta with the status of ambassador. He's been project manager since 1996 of the Euro-Mediterranean Information and Training Seminars for Diplomats. That is funded by the EU and is an official confidence-building mechanism of the Euro-Mediterranean Partnership. He's also Mediterranean editor of the journal Mediterranean Politics, published in London, and associate editor of the journal Global Networks, published by Blackwell of Oxford. He's also visiting professor at the Centre for European Integration Studies, University of Bonn, and a member of the Euro-Mediterranean Study Commission. As a guest analyst, he has participated in numerous interviews, including regular contributions to the BBC World Service. Thank you very, very much for coming today, Professor.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity and the invitation to participate.
Well, we spoke, I mentioned the Jean Monnet, and I suppose that is perhaps the biggest project that you've been involved in as MEDAC. How did that all start off?
Yes, in actual fact, the Jean Monnet program that we currently have a chair in is part of an evolution of the Mediterranean Academy of Diplomatic Studies in the sense of our relationship with the European Union. While I wouldn't necessarily refer to it as our largest, because I try to treat all of our programs as equal, you're absolutely correct in that it does offer us a platform whereby we've been able to provide a much more systematic type of program of instruction to our postgraduate students when it comes to the European Union's external relations dimension, with specific focus, of course, always being on the Mediterranean. The principal dynamics of the program, as the title of the chair indicates, focus on the principles of dialogue, people, and culture. And in fact, the structure, the framework of the program is such that all of these pertinent points, when it comes to the aim of the program, are highlighted in all of the weekly sessions that we provide our students. So, for example, when one is looking at the outline of the program, you see a major emphasis on the principle of dialogue, for instance, in the themes related to diplomacy. And then you also have, of course, the people dimension. This is very much highlighted when one is examining, for instance, the EU programs towards the Mediterranean, but programs that are tailored to assist people, the grassroots of the different countries, primarily along the southern shores of the Mediterranean. Culture, obviously, is a much more wider remit in the sense that this is where, for instance, one then highlights the analysis, the instruction on a weekly basis, dealing, of course, with the intercultural and the different religious, historic, traditional backgrounds of the peoples of the Mediterranean. And, of course, the Mediterranean, as everyone knows, is very much the cradle of civilizations, where we have the three of the main religions in world affairs: the Christian faith, the Muslim faith, and of course also the Judea faith. So this is in essence the nature of the EU Jean Monnet chair we have been able to start offering in recent years at our academy, And I would argue, and in the sense that this is fact, it very much dovetails with the program of activities we've been providing since our establishment in 1990.
Your students at MEDAC, you have undergraduate students, postgraduate students. What kind of students do you
have?
Yes,
I think this is very important to focus on. In actual fact, the academy, MEDAC, is only catering to postgraduate students. The nature of our student body is such that we have two types of students, if you want to put it like that, although, of course, all the students are regarded as being equal and as the same. But the main background of the students, if I could put it that way, is one of you have those that are already functioning diplomats in the respective foreign ministries. And then you have other aspiring diplomats or aspiring students who would like to join a career path, pursue a career path that is focusing on the international dimension. So they would be usually graduates, recent graduates who have a first degree. A first degree quite regularly in one of the core disciplines that we are specializing on. And the core disciplines, of course, in our field are referring to international relations, international history, international economics, and international law, and then also, of course, diplomacy. So you have these two types of students, but it is at a postgraduate level, a master's degree, and it's a one-year full-time program.
So you have what you call a chair. And does this chair mean that you also have other partners in this project?
Well, the way it works, of course, the partners are the young diplomats coming from the different respective foreign ministries are coming primarily from the Maghreb and the Mashrik, North Africa and the Middle East. So in that sense, they are our partners. On an annual basis, we have a regular flow of up to 15 young diplomats from Morocco straight up to Syria, and then also some students from the Balkans, some students from the EU, some students from beyond the Mediterranean area, including also China. So they are all of our, if you want to put it like that, they are all partners in this system. The chair is obviously providing the service to these students, and they are seconded by the respective governments, so of course they're partners in this. It goes without saying as well that the academy, since it's the days it opened its doors for the first time, was also a partnership between the government of Malta, the University of Malta, of course, and the government of Switzerland. And that remains 19 years later the case. Not only does it remain the case, but subsequently other governments, institutions have also become partners of the Academy, including, of course, the European Union through this chair, but also other activities that I'll be mentioning a little bit later on, and also, of course, the governments of Italy, and most recently, of course, we also have the pleasure and the honor of announcing a new chair at MEDAC, commencing in 2009-2010, a German chair in peace and conflict studies.
About the actual content of the work, of the research work that goes on, do you have lecturers? I mean, I know you yourself obviously are a lecturer. Do you get people from abroad for special parts of the course? How does that work?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think it's very important to also emphasize that in addition to the in-house, to the core specialists that we have at MEDAC, we also are very much a functional institution in the sense that we have a significant proportion of our instruction conducted by visiting professors. Visiting professors, primarily from the Euro-Mediterranean area, including, of course, the Arab world, who on a very regular basis are lecturing, providing analysis on pertinent issues pertaining to the Mediterranean. The key emphasis has to be on the Mediterranean, in the sense that what makes MEDAC exclusive when it comes to the type of training we provide is our Mediterranean focus. So all of the analysis, all of the sessions, all of the programs always focus on Mediterranean, be it from a theoretical perspective or from an empirical perspective. And I think this is what most is most attractive to those wanting to come, in the sense that in addition to the standard type of instruction, they are able to learn a great deal from a from an academic perspective about the Mediterranean, be it political, cultural, human dimension, the issue of human rights, be it economic, be it environmental, be it legal, all of these perspectives. And then it goes without saying as well that if you are part of the MEDEC class, you can imagine you are actually interacting with personalities, not only when it comes to the professors, but also your fellow students who are coming from the region. And I would argue this is, you know, as the director of the academy, I bluntly stipulate that this is what makes it so enjoyable, because you, everyone is learning from one another.
This is what I used to say about the human rights and democratization course, where you've got people who are coming from even conflict areas within the Mediterranean, and they find themselves here in Malta. And, I mean, your students are perhaps, many of them, as you say, are already diplomats, so perhaps the situation is a little bit different, but certainly from different cultures. And Malta does certainly seems to have a role to play, quite a successful position, a good position to be in with regard to people who are coming from different areas. Do you find that amongst your students?
Absolutely. Precisely, your analysis couldn't be more correct, in the sense that the real-time examples of the even diplomats, but also students who join us, are unique. Obviously, we're able to provide this service thanks to the partners. And the partners, first and foremost, the University of Malta, who are the ones that are providing us, the institution that is providing us with the academic framework. Our degree program is fully in sync with the rules and regulations of the university. But it goes without saying as well that the foreign policy of Malta is precisely the type of context, the conducive context, that allows us to provide this type of program. So when one is looking at our program, obviously, like all students, they also identify the location, and the perception of Malta, as it should be, is that of a country that has always sought to promote intercultural relations on a Euromed basis. And it goes without saying that we are able to provide the type of activity, and I would argue also have been as successful as we've managed to be, thanks to precisely this specific context we are operating in.
Before, you were mentioning the theoretical and the empirical. The lecturers that you bring from abroad, some of them I presume would be academics, pure academics. Others would be working diplomats who are able perhaps to offer a different approach or a different take on diplomacy. Is that the case?
Yes, precisely. I mean, the nature of the program, the first semester is primarily focusing on the theoretical perspectives of the different disciplines. The second semester is primarily geared to the empirical analysis. So in a program focusing on diplomatic studies, while of course the academic foundation is state of the art, it's at the highest level, as it should be, I think what makes our program also unique is the fact that we have all these practitioners. For example, just to give a few examples, we have scholars, either former ambassadors, also academics in their own right, but who have been participating directly, be it in conflict resolution exercises in their respective governments, be it in programs related to issues such as the water rights issue. And they are providing instruction as a result of their experience to students through simulation exercises. And in fact, I would like to also mention that the students, one of the programs that they find, or one of the components, maybe is a better way of putting it, that they find most interesting are these opportunities to participate in role play types of sessions where, you know, they assume the responsibility either of a government or of an institution.
In fact,
obviously under the coordination of someone who's actually been involved in.
In fact, I wanted to ask you to describe one of these sessions. And before we carry on with that, I'd just like to remind listeners that this is Research Matters. I'm Patricia Camilleri, and today I'm talking to Professor Stephen Kalea, Director of the Mediterranean Academy of Diplomatic Studies. These practical sessions, I've heard descriptions of them, and I think that it sounds absolutely wonderful.
They are tremendous, because, of course, if you have a young scholar, even a young diplomat who's been in his or her respective foreign ministry for a couple of years, the fact that they are offered an opportunity to play the role of a commissioner of the European Union or of the Secretary General of the United Nations or of even their own foreign ministry as an ambassador or as the minister, him or herself, it's a unique dynamic. And they are interacting with colleagues of theirs from different ministries in that type of high-level setting. Of course, this is all done under the control, under the moderation of the professionals that we're able to take advantage of scholars, diplomats who have that experience. And then what's most interesting, of course, having had the institution already been established close to 20 years, we have a lot of feedback from our alumni who participated in these types of activities and then said, goodness gracious me, 10 years later, 12 years later, 15 years later, we are today ambassadors ourselves, or we are responsible for a specific dossier, and we are now actually participating in, obviously in a real-time type of context, in exercises that we were exposed to for the first, second, or third time during our stay at the Academy. And this is, of course, makes us extremely proud of having this opportunity, being able to provide this opportunity, and seeking to further strengthen our service in the sense that, and I think this is very important to highlight, is that, not to put it unfortunately, but that the type of service we provide in diplomatic training continues to be extremely necessary. The world, as everyone knows, continues to be an extremely volatile, erratic place, despite the end of the Cold War. Some would argue there's a sense of nostalgia for the complacency of the Cold War. I would, of course, not subscribe to that, but still, there's a constant necessity to update and upgrade the training. And here in the Mediterranean, of course, we're no exception. We live in a region of the world where instability is quite often the name of the game. So in that respect, it's an extremely relevant program, and it is perceived as such.
The kind of research that goes on, I presume your students do some research. They probably write some sort of a dissertation at the end of the day for their masters. What happens to that research? Because sometimes at postgrad level, it's very high quality research, and it would be a pity to sort of lose it. Do you find that it does serve to enrich perhaps the academy itself at the end of the day?
Very much so, in the sense that firstly, all of the theses are made available through the university system and also through our library to all students, and in fact we're very proud as well to have a state-of-the-art small library, very specialized library, that is open to all students. All students here in Malta, but also students from abroad who on occasion also come over to Malta specifically for a few weeks to take advantage of the research that's being conducted. We also have, of course, plenty of the material that students themselves, some of our students, of course, as is to be expected, have become academics in their own right, in the sense that not everyone goes into the Ministry of Foreign Affairs or into the international institutional structure of international relations, but some have gone on to become academics in their own right. So several of our scholars from different parts of the world are today writing their own articles and books that are follow-ups, very much take advantage of the opportunity they had at MEDEC.
And some of them perhaps even influencing policies out there in their own foreign ministries.
That is also absolutely the case, and I think it's, I should have mentioned it, so I thank you for highlighting it. Several of our students, today we have over 600 diplomats, functionaires in different parts of the world, and we have a very functional alumni network, so we're in regular contact with most of them. It goes without saying, although of course we keep a low profile on this matter for obvious reasons, that a lot of the analysis that they conducted here has been had a direct impact and continues to have a direct impact on the foreign policy procedure within their own country.
Well, we've spoken about the Jean Monnet chair and how it sort of affects the Academy itself. I know that it's sort of not the only thing you focus on, obviously, at the Academy. About some other activities.
Yes, I mean, we hold regular international meetings. One of our main pillars, in the sense that we've also been doing that now for over 12 years, are these regular Euro-Mediterranean information and training sessions. And these are short meetings over a couple of days, 4 or 5 days, where all of the European Union and the Mediterranean partner countries come together every 6 months here in Malta, in order to have a brainstorming about the current situation in the Euromed context. This is, as you highlighted at the start of this program, since 1997, become an official confidence-building mechanism in our part of the world. It's fully funded by the European Union, and on average we have about 70 to 80 young diplomats participating from all the countries, including the countries of the Middle East, on a regular basis, and exchanging ideas, information, also receiving updates from practitioners in the EU, in the Arab countries, in Israel, about the state of affairs happening in the Mediterranean. As you can imagine, this is a very rich type of activity, because it does very much take into consideration the contemporary situation on the ground. Fortunately, again, and I think one of the secrets to the success has been the fact that they are held in Malta. Malta has proven time and time again that it is able, despite the shifts in patterns of relations around the Mediterranean, to provide a stable context where this type of exchange, regular exchange, can take place. And it is thanks to the European Union, who also identified the uniqueness of Malta and also the important contribution that the Mediterranean Academy itself, as a result of the activities and the people we're interacting with, in the sense that we were already organizing this type of activity, and they requested whether we could, you know, provide this service in a more structured manner to their policymakers. And this is also a key pillar of MEDEC that we've continuously sought to strengthen over the years.
And I think you hold conferences as well, and it's part of your remit.
Absolutely. I mean, and without perhaps providing too exhaustive of a list, but we also hold these seminars, conferences on a regular basis. We have a human dimension program that raises issues such as human rights, gender equality, the right to education, very much following the themes of the Millennium Development Goals of the United Nations, obviously always focusing on the Mediterranean, bringing in NGOs and academics and policymakers on a regular basis. We also hold the summer school. Every July for 2 weeks, for the last 7 years, we've been holding an intensive program where, again, the human dimension is the main focus.
And who attends this summer school usually?
It is an open type of summer school, but usually you'll have representatives from non-governmental organizations coming from North Africa and the Middle East, and then also different parts of the world, to interact and to articulate their concerns in light of the changing nature of relationships in the Mediterranean. So we have a very, very significant participation of, for example, women's rights programs, educational programs, civil society, in every sense of the word. And I think this is what also makes us unique, in the sense that MEDEC is seeking to project these types of activities so that we can also contribute, not in the strictest sense of just academic degrees, which of course is our main staple, but also when it comes to this confidence-building perspective through the different networks that we have.
And what about gender within your student body? Do you find that you are about 50-50, or are there more men than women?
Well, I don't usually, in the name of equality, don't go around taking the pulse, if you will. But it's a very good question.
The numbers are
No, absolutely. In actual fact, I believe, of course I stand to be somewhat corrected, but we have a higher proportion of women. And in fact, we've been encouraging more participation when it comes from women, in the sense that there's been a clear deficit, especially in the Mediterranean, without referring to any specific countries, in the past. So we've encouraged, and the good news is that in the last decade, the message has arrived, and there has been full cooperation from the different, especially when it comes to our scholarship program, for more women to be able to take advantage of this opportunity. So I, haphazard guess, I would say it's in the field of maybe 60-40 or 65-35, with a more of a focus on the women participation.
Career path for women in diplomacy is perhaps a little bit difficult because in the past it was always the men that became second secretary, first secretary, eventually perhaps ambassadors, and the presumption was that their wives were going to follow them around their 3-year stints wherever they went. Of course, that is not the case now, and if you have women who are climbing the career path within the diplomatic sector in the Foreign Office, it's not presumed that their husbands are going to follow them. So I think this is perhaps creating a little bit of a problem or not?
Not at all, in the sense that, I mean, I can, firstly, in international, just as international relations, when it comes to personal relations, the good news is that quite a lot of progress has been registered when it comes to respect and equality. In fact, female graduates of MEDEC have in the meantime become ambassadors. They've also reached the highest levels, if not ambassadors, the highest levels within the structures of, be it their respective foreign ministries, but several of them are also now functioning, are at the highest level in international institutions, including the European Union. Of course, at MEDEC, we don't in any way offer any service when it comes to the personal relationships, but as one knows, we live in a completely different world from, and I would argue that this is a major progress from the past, where equality is not something that is just referred to in a theoretical sense, but when it comes to professionals, respect, equality today you see also on a day-to-day basis, in the sense that several women have become very successful in the aftermath of their studies at MEDEC.
Well, that's jolly good to hear. Delighted that you're being so positive.
Absolutely.
About that. That's wonderful. Well, we're run out of time. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Stephen Kalea, for coming to talk to us today.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you.
If you would like further details about the University of Malta's research projects or any other information, please access our website at www.um.edu.mt. Do join me again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.